Okay, gentlemen, welcome back to another evening of the Thursday evening, another session rather of the Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we are continuing in the Shar HaGaiva for Aruch HaSadikim. This is Shir number 8. And halfway down the page, how bad is this Mida of Gaiva? So the author writes, Bale HaGaiva Hei Mituavim Be'ini Hashem. People of Gaiva, of haughtiness, are mitoavim, means despicable in the eyes of Hashem, Shenema, based on a pasuk in Mishlei written by Shlomo HaMelech, of course. So it needs to be taken seriously. Toavas Hashem kol gvar lev. Any person of haughtiness is considered despicable in the eyes of Hashem. V'hu nimsar b'yad Yitzro. This kind of person is sort of in the hands, handed over to the Yetzer Hara. Because Hashem lets go of him, so to speak. Hashem does not help him, assist him. Because if something is despicable to Hashem, so obviously Hashem is not going to lend a hand. Even if this person who's a Baal Gaiva does not show his haughtiness against a person, against someone else, verbally or in action, but he is haughty in his heart alone. Nikra Toeva, he is still considered a Toeva, called a Toeva, Shenema, as the Pasuk we just quoted says, Koa Toavas Hashem kol gvar lev. Toavas Hashem kol gvar lev, any person who is haughty in heart is considered a Toeva. In other words, I mean, just let's explain for a moment. Firstly, the Ralbag on this pasuk says that gaiva, haughtiness, prevents a person from reaching spiritual perfection. And since we are put on this world to come as close as possible to spiritual perfection, of course, and a person of haughtiness needs to know that it's not going to be too likely for him to reach that perfection if he is... stricken with this midah of gaiva. Going to explain a little further. That's the Ralbag. The Targum on this pasuk says that Hashem keeps a distance from a baal gaiva. But as far as your question goes, look at the next line. Afilu ein lo to gavus elo balev. A person is considered a baal gaiva even if his gaiva's haughtiness is only in his heart. Nikra toeva. He's considered a toeva, despicable. Now the Morchos Sadikim is pointing out that gaiva is not necessarily in action or verbally, the way a person speaks, the way a person acts, but it's in his heart. I'll give you an example of this. You know, we may have mentioned this a long time ago. When you have a chosh of a person, you ever notice when a chosh of a person walks into the room? So what do? We all stand up. Now, often you may notice that this person who walks in responds with everyone standing up. He responds waving his hands downward. Like, you know, that's a chavek, it's not necessary, don't worry, you don't have to stand up. Do we know whether or not in his heart he's really going like this?
We don't.
Please stand up. We don't. No, now, that doesn't mean, chas v'shalom, that I'm not casting aspersions of people walking in the room who stand up. We have to stand up for a person who's considered chashuv. And we are going to assume, of course, that he is actually taka saying, sit down, when he waves in that direction. But the only one who really knows if he is a baal gaiva or not is the person himself. There's no other way of knowing it. So that's exactly what gaiva is, because you could even appear as the most humble person in the world, but inside your heart, you're the biggest baal gaiva. So it's hard. Amru Rabbi Seinu, two lines from the bottom. Amru Rabbi Seinu, Achachamim have said, Kol adam sheyesh lo gasas aruach, any person who has haughtiness, kilo obed avodah zara, it's as if he has committed the sin of idol worship. Ksiv hacha, how do we know it? It's based on the wording. Ksiv hacha, because by haughtiness it says, Tovas Hashem kol gvar lev. Uksiv hasam, and there, when it discusses avodah zara, the same word is used, lo sovi to'eva el beisecha, don't bring a despicable item, to'eva, into your house. So you see, the word to'eva is used over here, and the word to'eva is used over there. So the Chachamim therefore say it's comparable. V'yeshamim, there are others who say, Kilu ba al kol ha'aroyos kulam. A person who is haughty is considered in the eyes of Hashem as if he has committed immorality with all those mates who are forbidden to him. Again, why? The same reason. Tichsiv, because it says in the pasuk, ki es kol atoy besoel asu, he has done all of those despicable acts. So you see, the word is used toeva and toeva here. So again, the comparison. V'yeshomim, others yet say kilu bana bama. It's as if the person has built a bama. Now a bama is a temporary kind of mizbeach or mishkan that karbonos were brought under, and of course there were many times, or most of the time, it was forbidden according to the Torah to bring a karbon, an offering on a bama. So since now what's the comparison here? It doesn't say toeva. There the comparison is different because a bama is higher than the surrounding area, the surrounding ground. That's what a bama is. A person who is a balgaiva, who has haughtiness, is a person who makes an effort to stand out in the crowd, to stand higher than the common ground. And that's why the Chachamim consider it as if he has built a bama. V'yamru. And furthermore, the Chachamim said, kol adam sheyesh bo gasas haruach losofes mayet. A person who has haughtiness eventually will be diminished. And emma built based on a pasuk in Iyov, Romu Miyat, a person who is haughty, Ma'at will become small, and Rashi explains there, someone with much haughtiness will fall in a short amount of time. Let's continue. Veroy legado kashera. This person is worthy of being uprooted kashera, like an avodah zarah tree. Ksiv hacha, based on psukim. Verome hakome geduim. The haughty of stature will be uprooted. Uksiv hasam. And there it says in Devarim, vashereim tigadeyun. Their avodah zarah trees tigadeyun should be uprooted. Now listen to these next words, gentlemen. Vein afaro ninar, and his dirt will not be shaken. His dirt will not be shaken. What does that mean? So this is a Gemara in Sota, Masechta Sota Daf Hei, and Rashi says there, when it comes to Chiyas HaMeisim, his dirt will not be shaken. That means he will not arise during Techiyas HaMeisim. When the rest of the dead will arise, a person who during his lifetime was a Balgaiva will not arise. Ushchina mi'aleles alav, and the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, cries about this person. V'yomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says, listen to these words of the Orech HaSadikim. Ein ani vahu yacholim ladur ba'olam. He and I cannot dwell in the same world. And one of the Mefarshim there on this says that the name of the Pirush is Tefillah Lemoshe, who says Hashem cannot bear that this person puts himself in the same categories, and any person who's haughty is putting himself in the same category as God, and Hashem cannot bear that. Okay, Shenema, based on this following pasuk where this pirush came from, Gvainayim urechav levav oso lohuchal, a person who is broad of heart and haughty in eyes, lohuchal I am not able, Hashem says, al tikre oso, don't read the word oso like it says in the pasuk, ela ito lohuchal, I cannot bear to be with him. And guess what, gentlemen, if it's going to be a choice between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the person, obviously, who do you think is going to stick around? So Hashem is going to stick around. And furthermore, the Chachamim said, "Hayman diyohir, a person who shows haughtiness, afilo al inche beiso lo makabel, he will not be accepted even by the people of his own household. That means his wife and his children, his close ones, his relatives will begin to ignore him. Shenema, based on a pasuk in Chavakuk, gever yohir velo yinve, a person of haughtiness will not be able to live, afilu banove shalo, even in his own dwelling place, in his own living place, meaning in his own house." So if a person is beginning to see in life that he's being ignored even in his own household, his children don't respect him, his wife doesn't respect him, her husband doesn't respect him, this should be a clear signal to the person. Maybe he's got to investigate that maybe it is his haughtiness. Now, if we're wondering, yes. In the next paragraph, what does gaiva lead to? Hagaiva mivia lidei redifas kavod. Gaiva could lead a person to the pursuit of honor, l'histora al b'nei adam, to feel as a ruler over other people. Now, it's amazing how far gaiva can drive a person for honor. I'll just give you an example. The most powerful man during his time was Paro. Paro Melech Mitzrayim, of course, was the king, the most powerful man of the most powerful country. Never did until Klal Yisrael were redeemed from Egypt, never did a human being escape from the land. Nevertheless, Paro, in order to convince people that he was not only a king, but he was a god, he used to go visit the Nile River, the Nilus, every morning to relieve himself. Once a day in the morning, secretly, privately. Why? Because God doesn't relieve himself. God doesn't have to relieve himself. So therefore, no one sees him go to the bathroom, so he must be a god. Now, I ask you, my friend, that's what Rashi says there. Rashi's on the Pasuk says. Now, I ask you, imagine for a moment the discomfort. What do they say in our terms? When you gotta go, you gotta go, right? Imagine the discomfort. Imagine the pain. Imagine the anguish sometimes. It comes 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you gotta go. No, he's gonna hold out, Paro. Why? Because he has to take it one step further. Not only is he the most powerful man of the most powerful country, but he is God. A little bit more honor. How much more honor could you get? I mean, you have so much as it is. Everybody in the world is at your beck and plea. So, but yet, person who's a Balgaiva and he requires a little bit more honor, he will put him through even such unusual and painful anguish and discomfort. Why? So he can have a little bit more covered. So let's imagine what people will do. Now, if you're wondering, how does that translate to these days? It is really rather simple. I didn't hear this from anyone. If you disagree, fine. But to me, it seems anybody, unless there's such purity in the motives, any person who is running for a public office, and we're in the middle of it right now, these people, 99% of the time, are independently wealthy. They have what they want. They can retire tomorrow. What in the world do they need it for? It's simple. Your paper is in the paper. Your picture is in the paper every single day. If you're the President of the United States, you're the most powerful person in the world. It is covet. It is a pursuit of covet. It's gaiva. Otherwise, I mean, unless you'll tell me there's someone out there who mamish is so pure in his motives and his thoughts that he just wants to do it for the sake of the country. I don't believe it. There are many things you can accomplish behind the scenes. You probably can accomplish more behind the scenes than sitting in the White House these days. And you put yourself, and by the way, the dangers you put yourself in, the Secret Service, you can't go anywhere and not be watched. And this is loyal and void. For the rest of your life, people are after you. No? Why? Same idea as Paro. This is for cover, this is for honor, and it comes from, as Aruch HaTzadikim says, this is an outgrowth of Gaiva. Let's continue. Ukfayadata, the second line of the paragraph of Ukfayadata, Ma'era Lakorach, Ra'adoso, Machmas Gavoso. We know already what occurred, what happened to Korach and his followers because of his Gaiva. Shabikesh Le'ez Gadel, he pursued, he seeked out greatness. Velika Kedula Shlo Ninalom and Shamayim, he wanted to grab greatness that was not given to him from heaven. Umitokach Nichnas Lamachlokas, and because of that, that led him, of course, to the Machlokas, to dispute with Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash Rabbah explains, by the way, that he wanted to be the prince instead of Elitzofen ben Uziel, and it wasn't meant to be. And min ha-machlokas yotza kina, from that machlokas that he had with Moshe Rabbeinu, what was an outgrowth? Kina, jealousy, sinna, hatred, v'chol eilu midos b'chusos miyod, and of course all these that were just mentioned are very lowly midos, kashe yizbor be'ezras Hashem, as will be explained as we continue. Okay, Lama Gein Vaita. Next paragraph. Sof Dover. Finally. Kol HaMakasheh Es Gufo Kedelis Gos. And we're getting back to the topic that was brought up earlier around the table. Any person who adorns his body in order to show off, HaRezeh Shocheach Es Hashem Baruch Hu, this person will forget Hashem. V'lo Yochush Al HaMitzvos, he will not be concerned about performing the mitzvos. V'lo Yirdovach HaMasim Tovim, he will not pursue good deeds. Why? Simple. Ki Kol Kavanoso Al Atzmo, because his entire intention, his concentration, is on himself. L'kashet Gufo HaKole HaSheach HaRiso Rima V'Toleya, to adorn his short-lived body which is going to end up, excuse me, but I'm reading the words here, 6 feet under with the worms and the maggots. That's exactly what it is. And it's an amazing thing. How in the world could a person who is concentrating so much, he is dressing up and putting on a show for others, simply because he wants to look good in the eyes of others, because he's a Baal Gaiva, how could he perform the mitzvahs? How could he serve Hashem if his mind is saturated with himself? Then of course he can't concentrate on anything else but that. I think I'm going to make a mention of this. You ever notice the bodybuilding places wherever you go? Whether, not to mention names, I don't want to cast aspersions on any one company, but you notice that you walk on the street and you see these buildings, they're all with see-through windows. So you can look as you're walking by, you can look through and you can see them on the treadmills, you can see them on the weightlifting, you can see them. Why? Let me ask you, if the person is concerned with his health, you can't do it behind closed doors? You can't do it behind a curtain? It's got to be lefnei yam ve'eda. You know what I mean? Not to mention, of course, that they make them now, of course, with TV screens, because, you know, how can you go a moment without watching TV? You know, as you actually exercise for your health, you know, you're trying to keep healthy. You know, I don't know. I am not an expert in the field, and I certainly don't want to come across as I am. I don't know how much time is really necessary. How much time do they spend in these places? Do you need a half hour, or it's got to be 3 hours there so everybody can see as you're walking by? I don't know. But I know of a person, by the way, who Haka needs to do it for health reasons, and they happen to be able to afford it, okay, in this case. They built a room in their house, and in their house, a small room, they have a treadmill, they have weights, and they have whatever is necessary to do it, fine. But you have to go to a gym, so go to a closed-in place. Why does it have to be in front of the mass? The question is brought up here. What about if a person is adorning, not himself necessarily, but adorning the mitzvah that he's performing? He goes out and he buys a $150 talis, or the lulav and esrig, or the very expensive tefillin. Of course, we know there's an inyan of Zekeh Levan Veil. A person is supposed to glorify Hashem and beautify Hashem in the mitzvahs as much as possible. However, again, what is the motive? If the person who buys the esrog for $1,000 and when he comes to shul on Sukkot forgets to remove the price tag and he walks around during Hashanahs with the $1,000 price tag still attached to the esrog, you know, then obviously, you know, or he walks around, hey, guess how much I spent for these tefillin, and he advertises the fact. So again, we're supposed to, of course, beautify the mitzvahs, but if the motive, if the reason a person is doing it is so that everyone will know, everyone in town will know that he built the most expensive, most beautiful sukkah, and it becomes the showcase in the community. Oh, you got to go see his sukkah, and you advertise, you know, in the paper, you want to see a sukkah, you know, you're invited to, all of a sudden that year, the guy invites everybody to his house for Kiddush on Sukkot. What happened all of a sudden? All of a sudden, you know, he doesn't know anybody, Mitamo is inviting everybody, the whole community is invited to, again, it's hard, Chas v'Shalom, we're not judging people, we got to look in the mirror. We're talking, any of these examples we give, because we're pointing the finger at ourselves. Why would we do such a thing? Why are we going to beautify our body? Mm-hmm. If a person is doing it a bodybuilding because he needs it for exercise, and he needs it because the doctor says it's best for his health. It's nafshaseichem, right? You have to watch, care for your body, fine. Matov manoim. But if the person is doing it for ulterior motives, so he can look great, and he makes sure that when he walks around the street, after he's built his body, he walks around with one of those, what do they call them, you know, t-shirts without sleeves, so his muscles are bulging in every direction, what does that mean? I can't understand it. Why would a person walk around with it? Even if you have to be a bodybuilder, even if you have to do such a thing, but to walk around, to me, it seems like, you know, it's either gaiva or it's so much low self-esteem that the only way the person can get himself recognized is by doing such a thing. The question is being raised, another question, the esrog box. a sterling silver esrog box, is that part of the Zeh Keli of Anveil? You know, it's like Tashmishe Kedusha. You know, is the Zeh Keli Anveil buying a nicer esrog or the esrog box? So I don't know. We have to ask a Poysuk if this is considered part of the mitzvah of beautifying Hashem, the wrapping. I could hear that it is, but again, if the person is coming to shul and he can't wait until he walks in for everybody to notice a sterling silver box, in fact, he only spent about $10 for the esrog. He spent $1,000 for the esrog box. You know, it's like the mezuzah. Some people actually think that the mezuzah is the sterling silver cover that's on it. That is just the cover. The mezuzah is inside. Now, if it, we lend more importance to the covering than to, you know, to the packaging, than to the essence of the mitzvah, then obviously we're missing the boat. But there could be the rabbi talazekel, you know, the wrapping for Sefer Torah. There's no end to it, by the way. And there are a lot of people making a lot of money. The leather cases for a Megillah, you buy a Megillah Esther, sterling silver case for a Megillah Esther, you know, all these things. I don't know, I can't paskin if that's part of the mitzvah. I could hear that it is, perhaps, but again, what is the person's intention? If he walks into shul and nobody, the litmus test is always, if you come to, in a public place and nobody notices what you have just spent money on, and you get depressed over the fact that nobody noticed it, then you know what your reason was. The motive was to be noticed. You know, if it doesn't make a difference to you, you come to shul, you go to a public place, and it doesn't make a difference. Somebody noticed the new suit, could notice the new suit, the new hat, the new tie, doesn't make a difference to you. So now we're human beings. Let's face it, we're all human. So to reach a Madrega, the level that hopefully by the time we end our lives, hopefully we'll reach somewhat close, I'll speak for myself anyway, somewhat close to that level that we're not going to react to people's reaction to what we are wearing or what we are buying when we shop. You know, that's a very high Madrega. We are human beings, but at least we have to work on it. That we shouldn't get depressed if we come to shul. Now, especially when it comes to the women, you know, some shuls have become, you know, fashion shows where the women in particular are coming to shul with a new hat or a new dress. And boy, if they're going to be depressed after they come home because nobody came over to them, you know, so you have to, again, we're not casting aspersions and we're not pointing a finger, but we have to work on ourselves. We have to notice if we're coming to shul, did we daven that Shabbos? Or the reason we came to shul is just to see if somebody will notice my new dress or my new suit. Oh, did you, how was davening today? Oh, I sort of like missed it. I don't know, but I was, I sort of missed the davening, but I did get a couple of great compliments on my suit. So, so that's, we have to question ourselves. The question came up about walking in the street with the lulav and esrog, so people will notice. I'm not quite sure about the comparison, but I just want to mention something along these lines, and maybe it applies to the lulav and esrog, at least here in America, or especially here in America. I had a discussion with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky many years ago about wearing a talis in the street. You know, you go to shul to Shabbos, let's say there's no Erev, and you want to wear your talis, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was opposed to it. He says, we have to remember we're in Golos, and we live amongst the Goyim. And if you're wearing your talis in the street, you're going to forget. So I went one step further, and I asked, what about a real, you're going to forget that you're in Golos. You can figure, when during the times of Mashiach, during the term Shlomo HaMelech, you know, when we weren't in Golos, then we could manifest our Yiddishkeit publicly and publicize our Yiddishkeit. But we're in Golos now, and we have to remember we're in Golos. And it's difficult to remember we're in Golos because B'yayin Hor Baruch Hashem, at least here in America, things, you know, we basically can do what we want. We can practice our religion the way we want. But that is a fault in a way because we forget that we're in Golos. To the point that some people, if you tell them, you know, hey, Mashiach is here, what? You mean we got to move to Yerushalayim? But I got a pool and I got a nice big house here and wherever you live, you know what I mean? Well, who needs Mashiach? You know, so Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky told me that he was opposed to walking in the street with a talis. And just getting back for a moment, and what about in a very Jewish neighborhood, you know, whatever the neighbors, a Flatbush, a Borough Park, or Muncie, you know. So Rabbi Yaakov said, even the more so, you shouldn't walk with your talis in the street, because it's easier to forget that you're in Golis when you're living in a neighborhood like that. So certainly you shouldn't wear your talis out in the street. So I don't know, about walking with your esrog and lulav in the street amongst goyim, you know, maybe you can compare the same. Again, I didn't ask Rabbi Yaakov about this. I never asked the Shaila. But perhaps, I don't know. Listen, we have no choice sometimes. You walk, you can't. It's hard to hide a lulav and esrog. So if someone will notice it, you notice it. But to put it on display in front of a goyim, I don't know if that is, you know, a good idea based upon what Rabbi Yaakov said with the talis. Let's go further. V'hamakashe, four lines from the bottom. V'hamakashe gufa hu korav lezima. Very powerful words here. A person who adorns his body, he's talking about a man, particularly even a woman, actually, who adorns their body, is getting too close to zima. Zima is immorality. In fact, I just want to quote the Ramchal. The Mesilas Yesharim writes in Perek Gimel, he says that when it comes to clothing, the Torah makes a fuss only two things. Number one, tzitzis, and number two, shatness. That's the only thing the Torah explicitly says you have to be careful when it comes to clothing. But the Mesilas Yesharim writes that overindulgence in fancy clothes leads to vanity, envy, and lust. And then he quotes a Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, and he says, this is the quote from the Medrash Rabbah, that when the Yetzirah sees a person concentrating on his clothes and his physical appearance, the Yetzirah says, this one is mine. He belongs to me. That's a quote that the Mesilas Yesharim is quoting. So let's continue. Ki Yisroel lifnei nashim lisachem beineihem. A man who, you know, beautifies his body too much is going to be seen before women and find favor in their eyes. U'mitokach yizkor yizeslam v'yovel idei yizchog v'kalas rosh. And he's going to develop a relationship with them, and it's going to lead to laughter, lightheadedness, v'gam o'isha, and a woman as well. Hamiskashetes lifnei anoshim, who adorns herself before men. Bozehi madlekes libam. Listen to the language. She ignites their hearts, umachneses hiruim belibam, and she causes them to be overcome by hiruim. That means foreign thoughts. Uvaze onsha godol miod. She is apt to receive a terrible consequence, punishment. Shehinosenes michshol lifnei harabim. She is putting a stumbling block before others. Halo osru chachamim. Didn't the rabbis forbid lehistakel bebigdei tzivonim shel noshim ashtuchim bakosel, even to gaze at women's clothing that are spread out on the wall? Meaning the good old days when they used to put out clothing to hang clothing on the. On the lines, or even these days on a mannequin. When you walk by a son, they have clothing on a mannequin. So he says it's also, the Chachamim said it's also to be mistakel, to gaze. You happen to see it, you see it. But if you gaze at it, it's usur. Kol shkein, all the more so, sheyesh isur godol yosef onesh godol, there is a greater isur and a greater onesh, le'isha hamiskashetes lepnei anoshim hamistaklim ba, for a woman to dress up before men who are gazing at her. Now, I know what you may say. You may say, wait a second, but the man has a freedom of a choice to look or not to look. So what do you want from the woman? You're placing the onus on her? What's her problem? So she dresses up? So, you're right. The man has bechira, freedom of choice, whether he should look or he should not look. But she tempted him. And we know, as we've said earlier, kol kvuda bas melech penima, a princess, you know, reserves her beauty for her prince, her husband. And if not, she is compromising on her dignity. So although the man is not potter for looking, but the woman who is tempting the man by dressing in a manner which is, you know, inviting, so she is going to have to suffer the consequence. But again, let's remember the language that we used in the past. She's permitted to be drenched menschlich. She can dress attractive, but not attracting. Attractive, but not attracting. Okay.
Yes, you could.
Okay, we'll continue next week.